What's up, guys? Registration is live for our Jacked by June Nutrition Challenge. Now, with this challenge, we're going to be building off of the basics that we focused on with our Nutrition Habits in the Control Your Fitness Challenge. We're going to dive a little bit deeper into our nutrition, looking at what we're eating, as well as how to build a balanced plate. Now, traditionally, the Jacked by June Challenge has been based off of the street parking nutrition templates. However, that is not required this year. We're gonna be giving you a few different ways that you guys can build your plates to where you don't have to use any scale or measuring necessary. So with this challenge, we're gonna be working on our habits with our nutrition as well as our lifestyle. Now, each of those habits is gonna have some points associated with it. That's gonna give you access to our Jacked by June shop. Now, this is gonna be an exclusive shop where you can only buy this gear by participating in this challenge and following through with your habits. There might be a fanny pack in there, I heard. This 4-week challenge is gonna be free for active street parking members. So if you have a loved one or a family member that you want to actively participate in the challenge, make sure you have them sign up for street parking before they join the challenge. For all of the challenge details, as well as the tasks and habits that we're gonna be working on for the challenge, head on over to Members Only, check out the Jacked by June page, and you can register there as well. For those of you guys that have participated in Jacked by June before, we had some requirements with incorporating some of our accessory programs or our extra programs like Bro Sessions. Now for this challenge, we are gonna be releasing two new extra programs for you guys, our Dumbbell Strength Program and our Body Weight Strength Program. However, they're not gonna be a requirement for you to do for this challenge, but just an added bonus if you guys wanna throw it into your daily workouts. We hope you guys can join us in getting jacked by June.
All right, here we are, Coach's Roundtable, back at it again. What episode is this? 14. Episode number 14. And we are here in the street parking office, and we are talking today about starting over. When it comes to fitness, this is a very common thing that we hear all the time is, oh man, like I was doing so good and I had to start over. Or we're going to talk about not just starting over, but also maybe someone who feels like they've never been successful. Like they've definitely started, but they don't even feel like it's starting over because they were never really going. Like they're on and off and on and off so often that starting over maybe doesn't even feel like the right term. We'll talk a little bit today about injuries and postpartum and stuff like that. I put up a post a few hours ago on the street parking Instagram and just asked for like, hey, what's your experience been like with feeling like starting over when it comes to your fitness or nutrition? And I mean, the post was very popular and people were like telling their stories. And the thing that I got from that, and I was surprised, but not surprised. But the thing that I got from that, and I don't know, you guys can share what you felt or when you see these stories, because we see them so often in our community and from being coaches for a long time, is that everybody's got at least one starting over story or picking back up or whatever, or how they got going in the first place. So it's a part of what we do. It's a part of life. If you want fitness to be a part of your life, is having these highs and lows or slow points or completely falling off the wagon and the wagon's now going away from you. And how do I catch up and get back on? So where I kind of like thought about this idea actually, and I know Jeb has family in town this week and he was just saying that he also has been having a lot of these discussions this week anyway, is my sister, who's never had really good luck with consistency in the habits of fitness and nutrition, I would say, she hit me up saying, I wanna have better habits. I'm just having a really hard time being motivated. And what my advice to her was, we'll get into when we start going through this, I think would surprise a lot of people given what my lifestyle is like. And I think sometimes people, they focus too much on the, what do I need to do, as opposed to the, how do I reframe the why, or how do I get my mind in a better place instead of like looking for the perfect program and like the perfect equipment or this supplement or that. I think that's what people go to the what instead of the why a lot of times. So Jeb, share a little bit about what you've got going on in your family this week, if you can, or the conversations that you've been having, because I think it's funny that we've both been having similar family conversations at the same time this week.
Yeah, so I won't name any names or titles or anything, but actually everybody that's visiting right now is all very active, and fitness plays a role in their life. But I was having a conversation with somebody that's very active, very adventurous, loves being outside, doing different activities and that kind of thing. And people will come up to him and say, like, oh, well, like, how can I get to where you are and be able to do that too? And what he was saying to me was like, it's just not going to happen, you know, because people his age, like, their version of activity would be walking the dog around the block. And he's like, that's not going to do anything for you. And I'm like, well, no, but that's where it starts. And so it was just funny that we had that conversation, and then I came in and like talked to you, and then this is the topic. Because I really believe that is that, first of all, as we said on here plenty of times, comparison is the thief of joy. So to compare yourself to somebody who appears to be really far along on their fitness journey and has a really great quality of life because they're healthy, is not really that's going to work against you. And if we're going to just get right into it, that's my firm belief is that it is about starting really small. And what we're talking about is these different habits. And if you've never maintained consistency, or if you've been hot and cold, then the habit is being inconsistent. The habit is not like, oh, I used to be consistent and then now I'm not. Well, it's like, no, you, if it's on and off and on and off and on and off, then there's never actually been any consistency there. So it's about creating that habit. And so much of that is mental, which I think we'll get into, but also it's meeting yourself where you are, not where somebody else is or where you think you should be or where you were X number of years in the past. Where are you right now? And what can you do right now that's the correct dosage of challenge, of fitness that you can maintain?
Yeah, so since we're jumping right into it, we kind of wrote down four different scenarios of where you might be if you feel like you're starting over. And one, which we've talked about already a little bit, is I've never maintained consistency. Like, I've always struggled. And yeah, I've done this program and it lasted 2 or 3 weeks, or maybe it even lasted 8 weeks, but that's as far as it kind of went. And then I was completely off. And then I was, you know, it was a year in between that and whatever. So there's never been like a notable amount of time where you've been consistently active in some sort of fitness. Another scenario might be you have had success in the past. Maybe you were an athlete in high school or college, or maybe, you know, before you had kids, you had like a very good, solid gym routine, and then something happened in your life where it fell off, and now you're having trouble finding consistency in your new situation. Another group that we'll kind of talk about is this idea of they're not ever completely off the wagon. Like, they're kind of like holding on to the side, but it's like very, very hot and cold. So they're never like, oh, it's been 6 months since I've worked out. It's more like, yeah, like some weeks I work out, or I do, you know, I get activity in once, and some weeks it's 3 times, and then I'll go a week without it, and then the next week it's 4 times, and it's just very inconsistent that way. And then the final group, which we did see a lot of questions and comments about on our social media pages, are people who are returning from illness, injury, postpartum, that kind of thing. And I think returning is the wrong word, which we'll get into. But let's jump in a little bit further into this. I've never maintained consistency because, as I mentioned, this is my sister. And where I agree with you completely, where I started with her, and this was like literally like a week ago, I think what she expected me to say was, oh, do the shift workout 3 times a week. Because street parking, and this is my business, and that's, you know, what I believe, and the workouts and the goblet squats and all that thing. I find it not the best advice to start there, and I've given another one of my siblings the same task when he reached out to me and asked for me to send him workouts. I said to him, I need you to walk, or I can't remember what I told him, if it was 20 minutes or 30 minutes, 4 times a week for 2 weeks, when you have completed that, let me know and I will send you workouts. Because here's the thing. When you are starting out and you've never been consistent, if it's been a really long time since you've done any sort of like regular exercise, finding the motivation to do it, being willing to be uncomfortable during the actual workout, and being okay being sore, like that's a tall order. What I would like to see first, and this is like, these are my siblings that I love with my whole heart. This is the advice that I would give to them. So take it on for yourself as well, is just prove to yourself that you actually have time and that you can do it without worrying about being uncomfortable while you're doing it and without being super sore. So right now, my sister, I'm like, send me a selfie every day when you go for a walk. It doesn't need to be a long walk, but you need to show yourself that like I'm committed to moving. And even if it's 10 minutes, 20 minutes, build that consistency first and then start worrying about adding in stuff that looks more like a workout. What advice would you guys give? That's what I do with my own personal family, and advice that I would give to anybody who's never really been able to find consistency. And maybe doesn't enjoy fitness. Like, not everybody enjoys it. I think you can learn to enjoy it and eventually you do enjoy it, but it's not comfortable for a lot of people at first. So that's another group that I would definitely give that advice to. What kind of advice would you guys give?
I mean, I love the walking idea because it's so accessible in so many ways. I have said before, just because it really is important to me with any endeavor or any habit that I'm trying to build, whether it's fitness related or not, is just blocking out the time for it and showing up, like you said. So, and I don't know what this is, but I like to set timers for myself. So I'll literally, if I put 15 minutes counting down on a clock, then I just commit to that. And for some reason, having that time just chip away and me knowing that at some point it is going to be over, and that I can focus all of my attention during those 15 minutes and try not to get too distracted. And yeah, just letting go of an outcome. I agree with the shift sometimes even being too much for someone who is just starting. So if I do make that recommendation, I would also add, stop at this point and completely let go of the goal. Don't worry about trying to achieve a certain end. Just carve out that space. And again, prove to yourself, like you said, that this is a commitment that you are staying true to.
And I think even like with the shift, if you're super sore and you've maybe started doing some of the shift workouts, by the way, if you're not a Street Parking member, the shift workouts are the more simple version of our daily workout. They're usually with lighter weight, lower reps and things like that. They're a better introductory version of the workout for somebody who might be in this position. If you're like, oh, I've committed to 3 shift workouts a week, but I am freaking wrecked. What most people will do is be like, I'm not going to work out. Like, I'm so sore. I can't, like, I'm like, whatever. I would say take a step back and go for the walk again. Go back to the walking step. Maintain consistency in movement, even if you have to, because I think the theme that's going to come out through all of this is there's going to be peaks and valleys, and you're going to have to, you know, some days, weeks, years, you're at a certain level and you're able to do a certain amount of things. And some days it's with the walking. And, you know, I had a really interesting conversation yesterday with Nicole where she's like, you know, the 4 of you, I don't feel like you've ever had to start over, which is funny because I broke my neck, tore my ACL, and I've been pregnant twice. And she still views me as somebody who's never had to start over. But that doesn't mean that I was always doing box jumps and pull-ups and things. It's just the maintaining of the not even a schedule because it's so random, but the maintaining of the movement in some form has always been there, which she's right about. So I know you, before we started Street Parking, one of the reasons that Street Parking exists is because of the work that you did with your cousin at your house, who definitely, he had some history of exercise for sure. He used to box and stuff, but it had been a long time before or since he had been active. So what kind of stuff did you have him doing, or what advice were you giving him at the time? Because still to this day, he's very consistent. Even since we've moved, he has not lost it at all. No. But he was not consistent at all when you started with him.
Yeah, so One of the things that we are very aware of on this panel is just because we've been around fitness for so long, right? And we've coached so many people. Each person has a different personality, right? And you have to figure that out. So for me, I knew that my cousin had a history of boxing when he was younger, in high school, even when he got out of high school a little bit, he was consistent with that. So I knew that he had that competitiveness in him. It was just about reigniting that flame in a way that wasn't going to discourage him. Because you have one chance to get somebody to make an appearance and then for them to realize, no, I'm just way off my game. I can't do this anymore. Like, or you show them, oh, okay, that wasn't that bad. It's like you have to show them how to crawl again, right? And then to the point where they're walking and then they're running. So for him, he would always make a comment because I started working out from home in the garage. Like, oh, I need to join you, man. I need to join you. And I just got to the point where I was like, well, you let me know. Will you let me know? And it got to the point where I got so annoyed of him saying, I got to join you. So I literally grabbed the assault bike and pulled it into the living room while I was making pancakes during the meal prep business times. And I was like, I want you to hop on that bike and I want you to just pedal for 5 minutes. In my head, I had an idea of what I was looking for. But for him, he's like, that's it? I was like, yes. I just want you to pedal for 5 minutes on this assault bike. That's it. He's like, okay. So he did just that. And I think he even turned on the TV and just pedaled away. And then when the 5 minutes was up, I set the oven timer for 5 minutes. I remember that. And then I went over and I checked how many calories he got on the assault bike. And then I was like, okay, you're done. He's like, that's it? You don't want me to do anything else? Nope. That's all I want you to do. The next day, I was like, are you ready? He's like, yeah, sure. I said, okay, yesterday you ended up getting like 24 calories in 5 minutes. Yes. That's all he ended up getting, which if you know anything about assault bikes, that is not good. So then I told him, I was like, look, yesterday you did 24 minutes or 24 calories. Today, I want you to get 25 calories, which at that point, I made him aware of to pay attention to what he was actually doing. And so, yeah, he turned on the TV and he just started pedaling and I could see him just kind of look down at the screen every now and then. But then I did that like three times that week. And then he got into, okay, you know what? I think I'm ready to do more. I want more. I was like, are you sure? Yeah. And I knew he was. It was that attitude that he came to me and that you still are in a position. Luckily, we're coaches because I think a lot of people that aren't coaches that get excited about family members wanting to work out with them. There's like an ego thing. Like, yeah, I'm going to mess this person up. My cousin actually now does this. He's like, yeah, I'm going to have someone come over. I'm going to recommend what kind of stuff should I? And he does talk like this. And so he'll be like,
impression is just.
Oh, yeah. So he'll ask, what kind of workout can I give him to just like really F him up? Like, dude, that is not the point. It's like, you just said, no, don't do that. You're like, oh, okay, fine. So anyway, with him, I knew that was what he needed. And that it was literally 2 weeks of that. And then he's like, all right, man, I think I'm ready. And then you just saw him. He was just on that bike regularly. And then once I knew he was consistent with that, I think, you know, three weeks later, I had him I started introducing him to movements in the workouts that I was doing because he was ready. He was like, okay, I got this. I'm fine. It's time for me to man up now. And that was all he needed, a push in the right direction to get him back into his fitness journey. And ever since then, he's been able to maintain consistency. I was a little worried about him when we moved out and we moved together and he ended up, you know, getting his own place. But no, he ended up buying his own equipment. He's got a really good garage gym set up now. His son works out with him all the time, which is really, really awesome. And so, you know, my neighbor, our front door neighbor actually joined us as part of this journey. And I felt bad because I knew that he was on the right track. Some people just need a little bit more handholding at the beginning. And we just weren't able to overcome that. It almost felt like once we left, he just lost hope. And so, and that's going to happen with some people, you know. So you're out here to change as many lives as possible and be happy with the ones that you were able to change and don't focus on the ones that you weren't able to change because that can be, you know, pretty, you know, it makes you pretty sad, you know?
Yeah, but I love that story because I think, you know, unfortunately, motivation is sometimes the opposite of what we need in a way because typically people will be like Alex, where when they start out, not this Alex, his cousin's name is Alex, they want it all at once. and then they do mess themselves up, or they do dive into a program that requires a lot of time, is going to make them super sore, maybe they need a lot of money or equipment or something, and those barriers become too big once the motivation is, now it's just your day-to-day life. It's not as exciting as it was. You're freaking uncomfortable. You're like, legs are cramping up, you know? And so that approach is perfect. And it's the same idea that I have with my sister. Like, no, just show that you have 10 minutes or 20 minutes. Establish that first, where you, that excuse is now gone. Well, I've proven that I have time to do it because I've been walking. So obviously I could do something else. And then it might never be the shift workouts for her. Like, I would personally be happy if she just maintained the walking and added in some like yoga or something like that. That's more up her alley. Like, it doesn't, I think one thing that we have going against us sometimes, especially with our own families or people that just see us on Instagram, is they automatically think that we believe that everybody needs to do exactly what we do and how we do it and at the intensity that we do it with and the schedule that we do it. And that's just not true. The main goal is movement and consistent movement. And what that looks like for you is going to, again, change depending on where your stage you're at in your life. But finding that consistency and movement. I think another thing that that story really highlighted was the accountability, at least at first. And I think, again, people think that accountability needs to be somebody who's there with you in person, or it needs to be this coach that you're paying, or it needs to be a trainer, or it needs to be group fitness classes or something like that. But it doesn't at all. Like, for example, for me and my sister, even if I wasn't a coach, we don't live in the same place. We're in completely different stages in our life. We have completely different fitness levels, but it's just a quick check-in of like, hey, I did it. I told you I was going to do it and I did it. It could be a coworker. It could be your kid. Like, we've seen street parking members that are like, my kid's like, hey, mom, it's time to work out. Just anybody that's going to ask you if you did what you told them that you were going to do and cares about your well-being and your follow through. It could be anyone. And I think that that's, a really cool tool, and they don't even have to be doing it with you at first.
You know, and one of the issues that, going back to the simplicity of that, right, where I think a lot of people have an image of what fitness needs to be because of what mainstream fitness pushes fitness to be. You know, you see this with a lot of the online subscriptions. They're out there to try to entertain people with the over-the-top music, with the over-the-top energy. It's just too much sometimes. When the simplicity came, and you're right, the accountability of Alex just showing up and turning on the TV, and just literally, it wasn't entertaining. It was a bike in a living room. He was watching like probably a boxing match, and it was just so simple. And you're right. And then, because those are more than nothings moments where, again, once they build up the confidence, they realize that fitness doesn't always have to be a show, a performance, right? And I think once they get comfortable with that, you know, they understand it, and they can do it at their own comfort level, you know. And each person will end up kind of developing into themselves and what they need for, you know, their consistency. But at the beginning, it's about that, keeping it very, very, very simple.
I think one of the hardest things for us in street parking, what we're combating is that like showy fitness and just even the fitness like industry in general. I think where people are going to struggle. So when my, she's probably going to kill me that I'm talking about her so much, but when my sister reached out, she didn't say, I want to lose weight. She didn't say, I want to go to a certain size. She didn't say, I have this thing coming up. No, she's definitely not trying to go like win a marathon or something like that. The exact words that she gave me was, I want to develop healthier habits, which is awesome that she said that. And I think that people need to find that. One of the notes that I kind of made before we hopped on here was, what habits would you want to have if there were no aesthetic or performance changes for you? Like, if you knew that it wasn't going to like all of a sudden make you some amazing athlete that you could show off with, and that your body wasn't going to change, what habits would you have and why? And I think the more you can learn about how fitness improves mood, fitness improves sleep, fitness, obviously the health benefits, like learn more about those things. And I think motivation is going to wane. If I only worked out when I was actively trying to lose weight, I would have to that once I lost weight, I would have to then gain weight to be motivated to work out again. Do you guys see how that works? Like, of course your motivation is all over the place if it's only to look a certain way. Well, when you look a certain way, then you're going to get a little lazy until it starts to go away, and then you're going to panic and overdo it again, and it's this up and down. Performance is the same way. At some point, hate to break it to you guys, but I'm 38 years old. At some point, the performance is going to start to go down a little bit. And you can improve things like certain skills or flexibility, or even, you know, like I feel like my endurance has still improved through street parking. But like, if my only motivation is to go like be competitive in something, whether it's like CrossFit or, you know, running races or whatever, at some point, that's not going to be a strong enough motivation to keep me going. And I've got to find something else. Before we moved on to like a different group, do you guys have anything else to add as far as this group that they've just kind of never found consistency and they're struggling to find it once and for all? Like Alex did 4 years later, still going strong when he started out, and workout number one was 5 minutes of biking while watching TV.
Maybe this doesn't fit in this category. Maybe it fits everywhere. But I often want to help people address that the shame that they may feel with never having started or having been off and on. And I see this more with nutrition, because the food or food products that we have available to us weren't around for the past, you know, let's say the last 100 years, and are basically engineered for overconsumption. So it's like, we're being set up to do these things. There doesn't need to be any shame involved. But I think even physically, you know, our lives are not set up to be for manual labor as they once were, where we were picking our own food, hunting for our own food, you know, building our homes, whatever it was. We are having to like artificially create these scenarios wherein we are being physically active. So we're having to go out of our way to do that. So I think understanding that and just giving yourself some grace so that you can start exactly where you are, and you're not in this mindset of, oh, I'm too far gone. I think fitness just falls on a spectrum. That's why I don't feel like I ever really have started over, because for the same reason, like, even through injury, you know, if it's one limb, I have three other functioning limbs that I use. I don't, you know, when my car gets a flat tire, I don't leave it on the side of the road. I put a donut on it and I take the back roads, you know, like there are always ways to maneuver. It doesn't always look the same. But yeah. And so I think just taking out the shame or even guilt involved, you're not a bad person for not having done that, but there needs to be some acceptance around that so that we can then move forward and make better changes from where we are now.
And I think just like the biggest part for this group is reframing what counts and reframing what your goals are. Walking counts. 5 minutes on the bike counts. I mean, when I was pregnant with Knox, there were many days where I was 10 minutes on the bike and then that's it, because during the first trimester, I was so tired with him, and that's what I did, but I maintained consistency and that was my workout. When I've been postpartum both times, the walking, it counts, the consistency. So reframe what counts, reframe what it needs to look like, and reframe why you're doing it. What would you continue doing for your health if nothing else were to be benefited through your habits that you're forming? What are you doing just for health, mental, physical, all of that, and reframe what the goals are and what you would maintain even if you nothing else would change. All right, so let's talk about this group where this group is a fun one, because this was kind of more where Alex was, but they've had success in the past, and I think, you know, we've all kind of got our own version of this story a little bit, where maybe it's somebody who all through high school, I mean, it's like that. I can throw the football over the mountains, like glory days, right? Where like, no, I used to crush it. I used to do this, this, and this, this. And then X happened. For many, many people that I saw in the comments, it was the kids thing, or a new job, or the gym closed down in quarantine, like whatever it is. So this is a little bit different where maybe you don't have to baby step them as much because they have been there. They know they can do it. I saw one of the comments where it was like, I used to have 2.5 hours and I would do it 5 days a week. And I'm having a hard time shifting my identity to not being that person. Like, because I can't do it the way that I used to do it and what I used to love, I'm almost not motivated to do it at all. Like, this seems like, and we felt that way even when we started street parking, like, this is kind of like not as fancy and like as like awesome looking. And it is hard to like reframe that. So Jeb, if you were working with somebody, or maybe you have, or when you're helping street parking members, because this is something that we talk about in street parking a lot, because people join, you know, hoping to like get something in short, but then they struggle with what they used to do. What kind of tips would you have for somebody like that?
So the first thing I would do is just encourage them to honestly be present. You know, as insensitive as it sounds, like, I don't care that you were a D1 athlete 20 years ago. It does not matter if for the last 20 years you've been doing nothing or sitting at a desk for 8 to 10 hours a day. All of that, you know, and you might mentally kind of at some point get back to where you know how to push your body beyond what it's capable of. You know, so that's something to look out for. But if I'm working with somebody or interacting with somebody in the community that has that mindset of like, I used to do this and now I'm here, that's kind of the first place that I try to start with them. It's like, well, where are you right now? Because everything that happened yesterday, good and bad, it doesn't matter. You've got today and you've got right now. And what can you do right now with the goal of being able to show up again tomorrow? And I'm even guilty of it. Like, if I have a few days off because I, you know, get sick or tweak something, or I go on a vacation and I get back and I want to work out, it's like I look in my garage and I have all of this stuff and I'm like, I want to do this and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do this. And if I do that, I'm wrecked the next day for like a couple of days, and then I don't want to do anything. So again, it just comes back to what can you do so that you can continue to do the thing that you're doing and gradually ramp it up, of course. But so much of what we're talking about, it all starts between your ears. And as far as tips, like concrete tips to get somebody to ignore what they used to be able to do. I mean, honestly, I literally will say, I've done this on Jeb and Flo before too. Like, where are you? What are you doing? It's like the, what was the book? The Warrior, The Way of the Peaceful Warrior. You know, where are you? I'm right here. When are you? It's right now. That's it. That's all that matters. And if you can just get a little glimpse, a little taste of that, a sense of existing right now, then all of a sudden all that other stuff just disappears. It dissolves, it goes away. And then you can look at what's in front of you and give yourself a little bit more grace and be able to literally just maybe walk around the block, or get on the bike for 5 minutes. And then it becomes kind of a game. And for people that used to be competitive, now they have this new thing that they can go for. You know, well, I did this yesterday, I'm gonna do this tomorrow, and then maybe I'm gonna go for like one more minute or one more calorie or one more rep or whatever. But yeah, it's whatever I can do to get them to just kind of put the blinders on all that other stuff that happened before and come back to right now.
I actually think, and maybe it's just because I've experienced this more than the group that we were talking about before of never finding consistency, I find people struggle with this sometimes harder than people starting from scratch. This, like, I have to change my mind frame about why I'm doing this. And I struggle with it big time still, too. Like, you know, I'll hear it, like, Molly and I talk all the time. Molly, she works with us. She does the nutrition. She was in that video before. And she'll tell me, like, what she did. And she did she did back squatting and the workout. And I'm like, gosh, dang it. Like, I only have time to do the workout. Like, Molly's fitter than me. And I'm like, it's like exactly what Jeb is saying. Like, what is my goal? My goal is to be generally fit, to have like a well-rounded life and to be healthy and to, you know, all of this stuff. Like, I don't need to do that. Yes, it sounds fun. And I think that's what's tough too, is like we have these busy, full lives and we enjoy it so much that that sounds fun. And I think that mental shift can, I don't know that it's harder, but it's equally as difficult for people who are used to doing more and used to being applauded every time they did fitness, or like they were like trying to win something, whether it's, again, like CrossFit type competition or whether it's a sport. They've got to find motivation from somewhere other than the applause, from somewhere other than the ego that comes along with how hard their workout was and how hardcore it was and who they beat and this and that. And it is tough. And I think it takes some reframing. So yeah, tips for that would be exactly what Jeb is saying, is why asking yourself, why am I doing this? What is it for? And again, what counts? What actually counts? What I'm used to counting and what I used to think was necessary, and maybe it was necessary for what I was doing at the time, that needs to change. My idea of what that is needs to change now.
When Jeb was talking, something came to my mind that it's a concept that I was introduced to a while back called beginner's mind. And it basically just refers to like having an attitude of open-mindedness, curiosity, lacking any like preconceptions. And I don't know the book, but there's a man who is quoted saying, in the beginner's mind, there are many possibilities. In the expert's mind, there are few. And I think it goes along with what Jeb was saying, like, you know, seemingly an expert because they have had success with consistency in the past, they're blinded to any other possibility of how this might look or what a workout might be. When, you know, in street parking, we offer countless customizations, 4 different program versions, 5 to 6 days a week. I don't know how many accessories and extra programs. And I, so often people, you know, will call into the Facebook group or email into the coaches and ask, like, it's like they're blinded to their possibilities, I guess, because they're so accustomed to it looking a certain way. So I think a practical, apart from just kind of like trying to put yourself in that posture of open-mindedness and curiosity and letting go of what you think it should be, explore the street parking resources. Like, don't close yourself off to what you think you're, I don't want to say like better than or above. Those things are viable options for you, and we give them every day. So yeah, I think that's a practical thing. Like, explore what we have to offer and be open-minded to what you can incorporate into your own training.
Awesome. Yeah, I think that's a tough one. And I think, you know, along those lines, you can also try something new, and so that you get to be a beginner and you get to see success in something that maybe you've never done before. And that could be something as simple as, I want to learn how to do a freestanding handstand or something like that. Like, it doesn't have to take a bunch of time and equipment. So I'm just going to practice it every day and see if I can get up to where I hold a handstand for a minute. Or like, I'm not able to do strict pull-ups and I've never had a strict pull-up. Like, let me work on something, a skill as simple as that, where you get that little bit of challenge maybe that you're used to, but it doesn't have to take a bunch of time. It doesn't have to take a bunch of like resources and things like that, but it's giving you something to work toward, because typically that's what motivates that group. And what they're lacking in motivation comes from like their sport in the past or whatever. And this group is the one that you have to be really careful about, because they will latch on to something like the 2 workouts a day, 75 hard type thing, where they're like, oh, I haven't been consistent, so I have to do this whole huge thing, and that's what's going to fix it for me. And now you're just kind of back to where you were before, and at some point eventually you're going to have to make it fit into your normal life. Okay, the next kind of group is the hot and cold group, and I would say probably a large portion of our members are this, where like when they joined, obviously they were in, and maybe for 6 weeks, 3 months, whatever, a year, they're doing good and they're consistent. And then, you know, the holidays came and they kind of fell off, and then it's January and then they're back on, but then they go on spring break and it's off, and it's never just there where it's like, yeah, sometimes it looks different than others, but it's always kind of there. It's very up and down and hot and cold. And they're not missing like months at a time, but they'll miss like a week, or they'll like get a little bit of lazy with their food for a couple weeks, or, you know, but then the fitness is still there. Like, they're just having a hard time making it a constant. This is very common. So they're holding on to the wagon. They're not completely off. This isn't necessarily starting over, but what kind of things, I'll ask you, Jules, what kind of, for the hot and cold crew, if this is where they find themselves, where it's not necessarily starting over, but
yeah, I would say that we've mentioned this before, and I think Jeb nailed it, which got me processing to things that I've applied outside of fitness where I can relate to people, because fitness is our world, right? So for us, it's easy to preach all this because we've established the habit of just working out for the, you know, for, hey, health is wealth, right? Like that. So when I was trying to, this was when you were pregnant with Banner, and we had a good flow, you know, we were starting to get good sleep again, and I wanted to learn how to, you know, we went to go buy a guitar. You're like, because I've been telling you how I would love to learn how to play a guitar. And so we went the whole experience, which, you know, we bought a cool guitar, and I even had to hold myself back from not getting the coolest guitar because I could buy it. I was like, just start with a medium one that you could, you know, really work. And then if you find this, that you've picked this up, then you can learn what's going to work for you. And then you can go buy your collection if that works out. So then I started my guitar lessons, online guitar lessons, which is the same thing as the concept of street parking, right? And I went too hard. I went like 6 days a week, and for 20-30 minutes, and I was like, I'm doing great. And the minute that Banner showed up, and, you know, 2 weeks after that, it just completely fell off. Where maybe if I would have set up my habits to do like a 4 times a week, that would have actually ended up working out a little bit better for me. But it was just kind of one of those things where if I didn't go full on, then I wasn't going to do it at all. And to this point now, that guitar stares at me, and I'm like, wow, I fell victim to the hot and cold situation. So now I would like to pick that back up, but I'm going to try the 4 days a week. And the reason why I say 4 days a week as opposed to 2 or 3 is because there is something to 4 days is that sweet spot where you can't really shuffle around days to be like, oh, I'm too busy today, I'm going to move it. And then next thing you know, you're 2 days a week, you've now postponed it all to the end, and you're like, no, I really don't want to do it, right? 4 days gets you consistent with the small little window, just one lesson a day, which is like a 15-minute long video, and that is it. And if you want to do extra, practice over what that video said. So what I was doing was, and I'll continue doing that, I'd watch that 15-minute long video, and then I would just, as soon as it was over, then I would just practice the basics over and over and over and over to get the muscle memory down on my fingers for playing the guitar. And that's what we're trying to pitch when it comes to the consistency in street parking. You know, just one workout a day and see how you feel. And if you want to work on a little bit extra and put 5-10 minutes on the clock afterwards, but that's it. Don't overdo it, because then you're going to fall into the trap of just, you know, you don't want to go back to being cold and then just falling off, because then you're going to be like, if I pick up again, it's going to have to look this way, when it doesn't have to look this way of 100, you know, going 0 to 100. It could look, you know, 10, 15, 20%, and then building up from there.
Yeah. And I think, again, like one thing that could help is finding accountability with somebody and what counts. So, I mean, I feel like I've said this with every single one, but let's say like you've committed to somebody, I'm going to move 4 days a week and I'm going to stick to that no matter what. Like, I'm of the mindset, and again, if I was working with a close friend or a family member or something, I would be stoked if they text messaged me at 10:30 p.m. and were like, I didn't work out, this, and this happened. And instead of them following it up with, so I'll make it up tomorrow, they said, so I walked around the block. I'd be like, boom, like, you kept it. That counts, because you've kept the commitment to yourself. Or I was like so tired, I couldn't do the street parking workout, but I did do one round. Great. It, like, maintain consistency at all costs. Even if it's like, I only did one round of the workout, but I kept that promise to myself. I only walked around the block one time, but I kept the at 10:30 at night, but I kept the promise to myself. That way you're more on the wagon than not. And keeping those promises to yourself, more often than not, you'll end up doing what you wanted to do in that day. But if it's like, oh, I promised Miranda that I would do the street parking workout and I don't want to do the whole thing because I'm so, you know, tired, so I just didn't do it. I would rather hear you say I did one round or made one lap than not do it at all. And this group, the example that I give of brushing your teeth applies to the most. Like, just because you missed the toothbrushing on Monday, you don't wait till the next Monday to pick it back up again. Just like, okay, whatever, that day's over, let me pick it back up the following day. So for all of these, I think one of the big takeaways has been reframe what counts big time. And the hot and cold one is big with that. And then some days you'll find yourself with more time, more energy, more excited. Maybe the workout looks more fun and you're in it and you're going. But no matter what, keeping that promise to yourself. And I think 4 days is a great place if you do struggle with hot and cold. Until you've found consistency with four, don't even try to make it five. Don't even allow yourself to make it five. If the fifth day is like a mountain bike or a, you know, a hike or something like that with your family that's outside of what you normally think of as your fitness, that's totally fine. Let's talk about, so I would say another really big one, and this, the last group, this causes a lot of, can cause a lot of these other issues, is injuries, pregnancies, some sort of body issue, not like a new job or like a moving or something like that, but like I had to stop or at least completely change or slow down because there was something going on with my body. And this is real. It will happen to every single person, whether it's a minor tweak to a major surgery or a major illness or something like that. It will happen to everyone that finds consistency in fitness at some point in their life. I've had plenty of opportunities in this arena for me personally. But Alex, you were the most recent person on the panel to deal with this. And I know you've talked about it in plenty of other episodes of Coach's Roundtable. But since, well, I guess we both kind of were dealing with postpartum and injury, but how were you continuing to move and not just, oh, well, I can't do X, Y, and Z, so I'm just going to wait till I feel better. How did you get through that?
First off, it started with giving myself permission to reduce my intensity. So I kind of just committed to myself, again, carving out time 5 days a week to move. And I didn't put any pressure on myself to send it because I had like an upper body limb and a lower body limb issue. Otherwise, I think I might have had a little bit more freedom to do that. Yeah, and I had to avoid certain movements or completely substitute some movements with others. There were days when I completely changed the structure of a workout, which I understand being a coach, I have the luxury to do because I understand that. But again, as street parking members, or, you know, if you aren't a member, we offer that guidance, through the street parking coaches. So if you are coming back from an injury or an illness or a surgery and you're not sure what some strategies are for customizing a workout, that's something you can reach out for. And we have countless resources helping people to understand how they can look at a workout and make it work for them. Let's say it's 5 rounds and the goal is 10 to 15 minutes. Well, move for 10 to 15 minutes, regardless of whether you hit 5 rounds or not. And, you know, for me, that was enough. So yeah, but again, a big part of it was, and it was a conscious, deliberate, like, discussion I had to have with myself. Like, I stopped going to the garage because I knew that that was going to be a place where I was going to push the intensity and possibly prolong my healing. Or hinder my healing. So just, again, creating boundaries, giving myself permission, all of those things, I think, allowed me to let go of the idea of this, like, it's either I do it all the way or I don't do any of it at all. And it allowed me to stay consistent. And again, I mean, in some ways it's a starting over. But in a lot of ways, I just feel like this is so important to me. It is such a valuable part of my life and allows me to do so many wonderful things and stay in such a good headspace. Like I have to, it's a non-negotiable. I have to find a way to make it work. So yeah, that's how it went for me.
I think it kind of goes back to, again, if your goals are specifically aesthetic or specifically performance-based, it's going to be really hard to find motivation when you're injured, when you're sick, or for sure, when you're pregnant and postpartum. Like, if my entire goal of fitness in my life is to look a certain way, like, I can see where when people get pregnant, and not only, like, your body is changing no matter what you do, and you're going to gain fat no matter where you're coming from, and you're going to look like a completely different person. If your main thing that kept you motivated for fitness up until that point was only aesthetic, I can see very easily how you'd be like, forget it. Like, I'm just going to wait till this baby comes out and then I'll jump back on it. So you have to find a different motivation. And for me, when I was pregnant, it was mental for sure. Like, keeping me in a good mental space, because you know, like, there, it's hard to be pregnant. And then also for my child, like, I wanted my body to be as physically healthy as possible for him both times, you know? And so I'm thinking about him. And then that even changes and allows me to train in a smarter way, because it's not about me. It wasn't for me. It was for him and keeping him safe and putting, you know, and being smart with him. So that was like, that's my example of pregnancy. But even with injury, because I've had, you know, several injuries, again, if my goal, and back then with both of my injuries, my goals were heavy, heavy on the performance side. And so if my only reason to work out was to perform well in competitions, how am I going to be motivated when I've got a freaking neck brace on and my hand is in a cast? Like, it could be very easy. And we see this with like professional athletes all the time, where as soon as that motivation's gone, they get completely out of shape. So for me, again, it was very mental, and I understood and knew the benefits of health. And also I've read a lot about how continuing to move and the hormonal response of the body, actually, I knew that it would help me recover faster. Mm-hmm. Like, literally, like, the tissues and the bones will recover better if you've got good blood flow and a good hormonal response from continuing to stay active. And that includes proper nutrition and all of that. Like, I, again, lucky me, had an understanding of all of that I was able to stay motivated to keep moving to improve my healing. And then the patience that comes along with it. And I'll kind of let Jeb talk about issues that you have seen either with any of these, whether it's injury, postpartum, whatever, where people maybe lack patience and they end up making their recovery take longer or messing themselves up forever potentially because they don't allow the recovery to happen properly because they're so antsy to jump right back on the wagon full speed.
So patience is an interesting thing. And I've definitely suffered from impatience quite often, especially in the distant past. But I've thought a lot about this, and like what patience really is a refusal to accept reality. Like, you cannot change what is happening right now. And if you're going to be impatient about it, you're just like, nah, I don't like this. And you're getting upset about it, right?
It's like Knox every morning when taking him to school.
Yeah, it's like you're basically turning into a little kid. And so, you know, that's the whole point of this control your fitness mentality that we've been talking about for quite a while and had the challenge at the beginning of the year all about that. So it's about, okay, well, what can you control right now? You've injured yourself, you've got a bum leg, or you're a few weeks postpartum. What can you control right now? And again, reframing what it is that counts as movement, especially for the mamas. Like, let me just go ahead and plug Street Parking Mamas right now, because the amount of resources in that department is staggering. So reach out to Carolina if you have any questions, because I've watched her, you know, journey, and I've seen stuff that she's worked really hard to put together. And it really is like, there's a mama's version of Suns Out, Guns Out. And it's literally like you're doing really light weights, but you're doing some lifting, you're walking around, you're doing some mindful movement, you're doing the core functional progression. So it's all this stuff that at the end of the day, you do it with intention and you feel good. And if we're not, I mean, even if we are chasing aesthetics and performance, well, why are we chasing those? Because we think it's going to make us feel good. So if the goal is to feel good, then accept what you cannot change, you know, and focus on what you can, and take continuous action to control those things that you can. And I think Alex said something at the beginning, but it's about the inputs, right? Not the outcomes. So what can you plug into this little matrix here? And whatever comes out the other end is what comes out the other end. And if it's not something that is desirable for you, okay, then maybe you tweak your input a little bit. But I think patience is extremely important. It's extremely hard to do. And I think that, you know, if you look at really high level athletes that have very severe injuries, if you watched the UFC this weekend, you know, these people have to stop doing what is their livelihood, what's putting food on the table for months. And they have to go through physical therapy, and they have to go through long periods of rest, and then periods of movement where they just are not allowed to move the way that they expect that they should. And that's just part of the deal. And a lot of them, either it mentally breaks them, or they just accept that that's part of the situation. Let's deal with the situation. And when you come back from that, you're hopefully, if you've done your recovery properly, you're in a good place. So, you know, what we're not saying that, I think that very, very few injuries result in you being completely immobile. There's always something that you can do. You just have to kind of zoom out a little bit and maybe entertain the possibility of some things that you didn't expect from the beginning.
You know, something I was thinking about when you were talking, and it kind of like applies to all of this, I think, when it comes to goals, we've mentioned a few times, mostly I've mentioned a few times, that you got to be careful with aesthetic and performance goals. I want to make sure you guys hear that I don't have a problem with aesthetic goals. Obviously don't have a problem with performance goals. I think there's a weird undercurrent in some of the fitness industry right now that makes you feel like you shouldn't have any aesthetic goals, which I think is not, that's weird. That's not, it's okay to want to improve the way that you look. However, I think maybe a way that might help some people reframe this is you have to earn the right to have an aesthetic goal. And what I mean by that is, if your health is not where it needs to be, then you shouldn't be worried about what size jeans you're wearing. Like, that shouldn't be the main priority. Like, oh yeah, I'm consistent with my eating, like my doctor's appointments are going good, I feel like I'm consistent with movement, whether it's walking or whatever, like I've been doing good. Like, I have a good track record with these things. I feel good. I'm sleeping good. Like, I'm not, you know, housing sugar three nights a week, you know, by eating like a, you know, whole thing of donuts or whatever. Like, I've got it under control. I'd like to lose 10 pounds. Great. Because you've got that kind of baseline. And I think the injury thing kind of goes the same way. You have to earn the right back to caring about your performance. So if you are currently, you know, when I tore my ACL, like, I couldn't care about performance while I was fixing the ACL. Like, that has to come first. And once I've done a good job of that, and it's back where, I mean, it's not 100% even now, but back where it's strong and it's solid, now I can care about how much I can back squat. But it's got to come in order. Like, earn the right to have some of these more fringe, maybe sexier goals through worrying about just your joint health and your organ health and your mental health and all of that stuff first. I think people completely do the flip of that. We've got time for like maybe two or three questions, so make them good ones. Nicole's got some questions over here. We had a ton, but hopefully we've covered a lot of it already. Okay, so her question was, I know the microphone is not working as well today, so I'll repeat it just in case. How do you help someone else who's fallen off the wagon? And I think we've talked about it a little bit. My number one thing that I will add to what Julian was saying, which is don't wreck them. Don't try to prove how good of a coach you are, which actually, if you wreck them, you're proving how not good of a coach you are, is don't come to them with your, hey, I feel like you need my help. And because I see this, this, and this wrong with you, and I'm more, you know, something that I've always adopted with my own family is to lead by example, to make myself approachable and always available. You can casually invite someone, hey, you want to, like, I'm working out, if you want to come over, even if you just come to hang out while I'm working out, and they can just be around. But don't come in hot to them. Unsolicited coaching, unsolicited advice is never going to be taken well.
Okay, how about the people who have a quick treat, that treat turns into another treat, hopping back on the wagon after that one treat that now it's been a week?
Treat the treat, like the toothbrushing, right? Like, I forgot to brush my teeth one night, maybe two nights in a row, but like at some point, like once you realize what's happening, don't overcompensate for it, right? So it's not, oh, I had a really binger weekend with food and alcohol and everything, so on Monday I'm going to eat only broccoli and dry chicken breast to make up for it. Don't make up for it. Don't overcompensate for it. Just get back on the wagon and let it move at the pace that it needs to move. Don't try to like overdo it.
Some people have been starting over with their injury, postpartum, whatever the case may be. How to help get out of that mindset of knowing that it's not going to look the same as it did before.
I'll let one of you guys take this one.
How to get out of the mindset that it's not going to look the way it looked before. I'm not sure if I 100% understand the question, because I don't think you want to get out of that mindset. In fact, you need to embrace the mindset that it may not look the way it looked before. You know, if I shatter my leg will heal, but it's never going to be the same. The way that the bones reform and calcify and the density and stuff, it's going to be essentially a new leg. It's going to be a leg that was previously shattered. It might still be very, very strong and that kind of thing, but my body's going to be different. I'm going to have to embrace what happens from here. So that's on the one hand. On the other hand, it might just be, again, patience. It might take more time than you expect, but you could get back to where you were. Who knows? It depends on a lot of different things. So I would say, you know, having that patience and recognizing where you are right now. As soon as you start dwelling on the past, what I used to be able to do, and dwelling on the future, what I may or may not ever be able to do again, you're ruining your opportunity to take advantage of the present. So I would say, where are you? What are you doing right now? What's in front of you? What's important right now? What can you do with this moment?
Awesome.
All right, so we're going to wrap up this week's episode. Thank you guys so much for watching, for those of you guys viewing it. If you wanted to share this video with somebody that would find this information very useful, please do so. Don't forget to like and subscribe, and we'll check in with you guys next week. In 2 weeks. 2 weeks.